All right, it's 37 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. You've got it tuned to KHUM. So coming up in November, along with all the other stuff you're going to find on the ballot, this is a very important midterm, you're also going to find Measure K on the ballot. And you may be wondering what that's all about. So in studio, we've got Eric Kirk and Brenda Perez, who are going to tell you more about it and do their best to get you to vote yes on Measure K. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Ah, good morning, indeed. So, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate that.
You bet.
So, I guess, in a nutshell, I'll give this to either of you. How would you sum up what Measure K is about?
Measure K is a great initiative. It's a tool that will allow the county government to provide services to all residents. It will provide also this feeling of comfortable, of that we are welcome here, and it will make a big statement of respect for all the dignity of individuals, and it's going to recognize the diversity and the richness of this community. So it's going to be a great, great measure.
Yeah, specifically, it is a sanctuary measure, which means that the ordinance would require that local law enforcement and agencies opt out of cooperation with ICE. Now, we've already have a statewide measure, SB 54, which provides that similar protection. But we take it a little bit further. One of the things we do is we don't have an exemption for past criminal conduct. Our feeling is that if you've done your time, you shouldn't be treated any differently from a citizen just because you are a undocumented immigrant. We also have provisions that in the rare occasions when the sheriff is called upon by a court-issued warrant to make an arrest on behalf of ICE, we establish certain protocols such as no arrests from midnight to 8 in the morning, no arrests at schools in front of the children, no arrests at hospitals, no arrests at courthouses. There was a horrific story in Texas of a woman who was alleged that she was abused by her boyfriend, went to get a restraining order, boyfriend calls ICE, and she's arrested as she arrives to do that. So that and then the last thing we do is we have protocols against, we have a policy in which so the parents, if they are arrested and facing deportation or have already been deported, if their children are still in the county, social workers will work hard to reunify them or honor the parental choices rather than taking it upon themselves. There have been stories around the country of social workers who've said, well, the children are citizens. They belong here in our own foster care system, and making that and actually opposing reunification. This would state that, you know, unless there's some evidence of abuse or neglect or some other reason that the state needs to take over the children, that they will honor the parents' choices of guardians, of where they go and what their fate is. Those are the primary things that Measure K offers.
So, as you mentioned, the state has the state bill that went into effect does provide some protections. Where does this go beyond that? Where does that one fall short?
Well, that's what we just said.
Yeah, okay.
It has SB 54 contains a long list of exemptions for past criminal conduct for everything from murder to drugs. Now, if you've been convicted of murder, you're probably not out running free anyways, right? But it has that, and that's we add these other provisions in terms of the prevention of families being separated. That's what we add that it doesn't have primarily. But we also don't have the exemptions. We have the same rules in terms of we can't stop an official from contacting ICE, but we can say that they can't expend resources, monetary resources, investigating somebody's status or participating in what are called joint task forces. This would prohibit it altogether. Now, there is, you know, some concern from the sheriff. If he runs into somebody he feels undesirable, he'd like to have all the tools in his basket, including deportation. And our feeling is that we shouldn't conflate criminal with immigration policy. let the federal authorities do what they're going to do, but local agencies will not be part of it. We want everybody to be to not be afraid to call the police if there's a crime in place, call the fire department, or bring their kids into the emergency room. We want them to be able to access services knowing that they're not going to be turned in.
It's kind of an interesting thing. The reality of undocumented immigrants in this country has been part of this country's history for forever. And until recent history, there has been a move to just to try and get this normalized, create a path to citizenship, get beyond the rhetoric and move past this to the reality of this is part of this country. The undocumented labor force in this country is huge, taking care of a lot of things that a lot of people won't do. So there was movement towards that, even with the conservatives, until just recently, where there has been this all out, attack, if you will, on not only undocumented immigrants, but all immigrants in general. We've cracked down on immigration, legal and illegal. The amount of refugees we're allowing in this country, lowest point in history at this point. So it's an interesting time. And these interesting times call for people taking action. And that's what you guys are doing.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you call it perfectly. It's been an attack. I mean, we have several groups that have been targeted, like the veterans. I never imagined this happening, like veterans deported or all type of people, even Native Americans that have been passed as Mexicans have been deported. And these kind of mistakes, confusion, craziness, it's all around the country. And we want to prevent this in Humboldt County. I think it's time. And this county can make the example. If it happens, it's going to be the first time a sanctuary, an entire population can vote this on the ballot. And I mean, it's like laying the power on people, laying the power to say something about this imprisonment, babies in the cages, the crying mothers, anyway, these tragedies that are tearing apart societies.
And the politics you talk about, Cliff, are kind of actually cynical, and we don't have time to go into it in detail, but it really started with the fact that elections nationally have been turning as more and more Latinos are registering to vote. As the United States has birthright citizenship. If you're born here, it doesn't matter what your status of your parents are. You are a citizen. They, over the past few generations, they've been registering to vote, and the Republicans were talking about a path to citizenship, but Steve Bannon, as the name we've all heard, organized a primary opposition to Eric Cantor, who was a Republican proponent of that, and defeated Eric Cantor. And all of a sudden, Republicans are all running scared since then. And that's why we have this crazy political situation.
So the reality is, as we said, things were heading in that direction. They've gone in the polar opposite and very hardcore. There is this zero tolerance policy that has caused front page news all over the place, with children being separated from their parents, and the administration cynically saying they honestly didn't think anyone would care about this. They were actually kind of taken aback that people are actually caring about this. So this is a reaction to this. It's like the physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And this is Humboldt County's reaction to the new policies. Now, as you said, there have been various counties that have put these ordinances into effect, but no county has done it via a ballot measure. This will be the first
that we can find. I've searched, and this would be the first. Everyone is usually done by resolution, legislative body, but this could really send a message, and it's something that could spread. There are Mendocino County activists who are interested that I've spoken to who want to do something down there. So,
now there aren't a lot of polls in Humboldt County with regard to how things are going. What is the sense that you are getting with regard to how this is being received?
This is very, this is being very, very well received. Since the process of gathering signatures, we have the chance to visit several places, I mean, from the north to the south, and people is being receiving this with joy as a reaction. As you say, it's a way to give voice to people, to entire families that are worried about our fellows in the border. And also the local tragedies here, they have been people deported in Humboldt County, and we all know these families. And so that's why I really appreciate, and I want to say thank you in this radio station to everybody that signed this petition, and to ask them, please vote on November 6th. Don't forget to go there. We have an appointment there to make history. This is going to be great.
Nearly 6,000 people signed. So
To get it onto
the ballot.
Wow.
So we feel good about that. We are running into a little bit of institutional resistance. A few weeks ago, the Board of Supervisors Board of Supervisors had requested a cost analysis. We didn't really think that much was going to turn up. All they really have to do is not call ICE, not contact ICE about things. It really shouldn't be that expensive.
It could be a savings, actually,
and we talk about that. We don't have time to go into all the details, but they came out with an estimate of 170 to over 300,000 annual costs, and the biggest by
with,
far
for what though?
That's the real question here. The sheriff's department said for tracking and reporting, and reported the Time Standard that, well, I have to track everything that ICE does in this county. And I wrote the initiative. I didn't put anything like that in there.
Right.
The only requirement he has is to track and report his own communications to and from ICE. He says he's contacted ICE 3 times in the past 3 years. He just needs to log that. And then he says he gets requests from ICE that he ignores once a week. He needs to log and type those. His estimates of $85,000 to $130,000 a year to log his phone calls to and from ICE, it just doesn't make sense. He seems to feel that there are requirements in there that are not in there. And that's the biggest. And the probation department, which has the exact same reporting requirements, has estimated their costs at $1,250 to $2,500, which I still think is high, but, you know, government, whatever. But the estimate of $85,000 to $130,000 is ridiculous. And we are going to challenge it in more detail, and there's some other numbers in there that are also based on worst case scenarios, and the report contained no offsets for savings, such as, you know, they talk about they're going to have to train people to not call ICE, right, to talk to your supervisor before calling ICE.
You have to train someone to not make a phone call?
Well, that's what they say. We have to train them to not violate this law. I think most
people are already qualified for
that. I would think so. I mean, if you've heard this, don't call ICE without talking to your supervisor. Any government employee now who's heard that is adequately trained, as far as I'm concerned. Free, right? But you do have to train for joint task force.
Right.
You do, you know, they're worried about lawsuits of disgruntled employees who are disciplined because they can't seem to not call ICE, right? But they're not worried about, they didn't take into account lawsuits from parents who are fighting to reunify their families. They're not taking into account the lawsuits for unlawful detainers, because the constitutionality of holding somebody over in prison longer than they would normally be held in order to allow ICE to come take them, that's not established. There are going to be lawsuits about that. So, but they had no offsets for savings. I'm a little, you know, upset about this report. But we are going to respond to it in detail. We are submitting some stuff to the newspapers. We wanted to get our facts straight. So you'll be reading about it, hopefully, within the next week or so. And we also have an event in which leaders of faith.
Yeah, we are preparing a press conference with faith leaders on our next Wednesday, September 26th at 12:30. I invite everybody that is listening to come. We are going to make a detailed response to the authorities, because we are very, very disappointed that the opposition is coming from there. When we are trying to make this bridge, we are trying to build a better place for everybody, then the opposition come for the Board of Supervisors and the Sheriff's Office. And this is a strong message for us as immigrants, as people that wants to live in peace, as wants to have a second chance, that we are not like really welcome here then, at least for this sector.
Yeah.
And we want to answer this. And we have the we have, thankfully, the support of people from different faiths, tradition, and they are going to be there standing for us, and we're going to have also people from the Green Party and Centro del Pueblo and all the supporters around. So I invite you to come if you want to know more about this in detail, about this report and how we make research, because some of the things that really bothers me about the report and all the newspaper notes is that in the supervisor says, I believe, or I guess, but they are not based on a knowledge, on a base knowledge. I really doubt they have read with attention the initiative, first of all. Because if they have read this, they can find the answers that they are guessing or doubting over there. Second, most of the language in this initiative is very, very understandable. It's very, like, there is no problem to understand that. Even me, in an English, my second language, I can understand of all it, and I offer myself and some other Eric, I think, is going to be pleased to explain this to the authorities, to make trainings before that. It's going to cost some money for them, and please don't put the money before our safety and our families.
And as you said, Eric, the money issue seems to be a red herring.
It really is. I think there's some supervisors who are getting a lot of pressure to shut this thing down, but they don't want to oppose it for the wrong reason. I'm sorry, this is my cynical approach here, because this was just a ridiculous report. I am really upset that basically campaign propaganda was put onto official county letterhead, and it's so easily taken apart if you just even look at it a little bit. I mean, $85,000 to $130,000. That's the biggest one. If that's what it's costing them, then they need to hire somebody who can type a little faster.
So we are apparently in an era where facts don't really matter, where alternative facts can be just pulled out of the air. We've seen that numerous times for various things, but if the policies that over the past year and a half have rankled you, and you want to do something about it locally, this is clearly your chance.
Absolutely, and you know, just bear in mind there are at last census over 13,000 Latinos. I think that much larger now. We have no idea how many are undocumented, but these are people you know, people you work with, people who are cheering, you know, youth sports alongside with you. This is your community.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's very easy to vilify faceless people, but when you're talking about your neighbors, people you've known for years, people you run into in the supermarket, people you see at the soccer games at school, it's a different thing. It was like, oh, I didn't know we were talking about this person.
I thought we were
just talking about the generic bad guy that's been vilified.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And in fact, communities where there have been a lot of deportations, there are people saying, I didn't even know he was undocumented. Mm-hmm. There's a famous video of that up in Washington where, you know, people were just pulled. It was a very popular, you know, man. And it's just, you know, and it's real easy to judge people. Oh, well, they did the wrong thing. All they had to do was follow the law. The wait time for a Mexican coming to America is 21 years. If you are in a situation, you know, where you need, you want future for your kids, we would all make this choice.
Absolutely.
In a heartbeat. We would make the choice to do what we need to do for the future of our children.
Well, if you take a look at the history of this country, it is all immigrants. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you aside from the Native Americans, we're all immigrants. So, I mean, I'm only a second generation American.
Right.
And, it's kind of amazing and seemingly cynical that we are tightening down the screws. You know, it's like, I've got mine, screw you. I'm here. My family's here. We don't need any more.
I agree.
And it seems to make a mockery of those famous words on the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, which people point out, well, that's just a statue. You heard that came from the top of our government. Mm-hmm. It's just a statue. It was done.
and the Bill of Rights is just a piece of paper.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, well, interesting that you mentioned the Native American groups. For example, Yurok Tribe have endorsed this initiative. We have been on the Wheel Day presenting this initiative, and they have welcomed everybody there. Like, this is recognizing this is a sanctuary land. And we are taking action. We are not anymore resisting. We are proacting, proposing this to the government to have better tools, to have people with dignity.
Excellent. Well, we are unfortunately out of time, but folks can find out more by going to measurek.org.
That's right.
That's a good place to go. This conversation we'll have posted up at khum.com for you to share if you'd like.
Thank you very much, Cliff.
And Brenda and Eric, I want to thank you both for coming in and very eloquently explaining what this is all about.
Thank you.